Packers all the time.
That trade deadline hits as the girls are about to go out for trick-or-treating. And so this could still happen, whether it's him getting traded to the Packers or someone else. So this story, I don't think you can say, is completely over.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Big week, of course, for the Green Bay Packers taking on those Chicago Bears this weekend. Big day for us as we are joined by Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I am outstanding. How are you guys?
We're good. I saw you had a little adventure this weekend. Went down to Chicago, caught a little. I love social media for that, by the way. Just being able to like see what your friends are up to. How was that?
It was awesome. Yes, the first WNBA game that I've ever attended and Sydney ever attended. Eric Name, friend of show, friend of station, friend of me, went with us. It was awesome.
Friend of me.
Lisa Byington and her wife were kind enough to let us switch seats with her for the third quarter. So Sydney got to sit on the floor, which was pretty amazing. So if only Sabrina Ionescu was not sidelined with a calf injury, it would have been amazing. But Sydney did not complain one iota about her favorite player being out. She wants the Liberty to win a title, so she wanted her to rest her injured calf. So all very fun. And rode a train for the first time. I was telling Sydney this. Rode a train for the first time since I went to Super Bowl 31 and took a train to it, which I'm here to tell you that game was in New Orleans. That is a very long train ride. Unless you really love riding the rails, I don't recommend that as a mode of transportation to a Super Bowl.
Okay, so we were talking this morning because Chewy had to drive to Minneapolis, and he said that's a boring ride. What is it, 5 hours, Chew?
Yeah. Yeah.
We drove up to Door County this weekend. That was three from us. And Chewy was saying he would rather have a longer, exciting ride than a shorter, boring ride. What is the threshold for you on the drive? It's just too far. Like Chewy said, he's
shorter
willing to do
better.
But sure.
Shorter the better.
But Chewy said he's willing to do longer if there's some excitement along the way.
Yeah, that's Chew. I love you, man. But holy cow, that's one of the dumber things I've heard from you.
Oh, but it's just like tree after tree and then another tree. And it coupled with bad driving, Jason. As just
yeah,
a little
see,
painful.
If you're taking an exciting drive, I don't know what that constitutes, but then like aren't you dealing with more traffic, more delays? Like if you're going through say a major metropolitan area multiple times, you're gonna have backups, right? Like
but if I can zip through Chicago if you hit it right, where there's actually something to look at and the driving's a little more challenging.
Hey, Comiskey Park. Yeah, okay. You want a challenge.
Challenge, yes.
Tough beat.
Okay.
Well, you all know right. I'm
so,
weird.
This, I do, and we love you anyway. So this would be the portion of the program where you make a complete non sequitur segue into something Packers related.
Jason, how much better are the Bears this year than last year?
I have no idea. But they can't be much worse, right? I mean, they've added DJ Moore. Obviously, they had multiple high picks. They have another, at least a year of experience with Justin Fields as the full-time starter. I can't imagine them being worse. But I don't know how much better they are. And this is one of my biggest – I've told you guys this 1,000 times now, that this is the most intrigued and excited for a season that I've felt since I started on your 96 team. You know, that team we knew was damn good. And despite that, you know, three game stretch or whatever in the middle of the season and Doug Evans' interception at the Trans World Dome, turning things around, we knew that that was a really talented team. You know, I have said, I think this team is going 6-11. I think it's going to struggle early. I think it's going to start to kind of figure things out during the second half of the year. But much like the 2008 team, I think they're going to lose some close games because of their inexperience. And because I've still not sold on their defense, and I believe that they have a thin margin for error injury-wise because of their inexperienced starting quarterback and some of the other spots where they're not very deep. But I can also, as I've said many times, see three games that I don't think are going to go their way. They finish 9-8, and they do what Seattle did last year and sneak into the playoffs. And all these young guys get the experience of playing in a playoff game in a year where maybe some people expect them to play in the playoffs, but I don't. So, but I have no idea. Like, I don't think they're going to go 4-13 either, but I don't think I've had a season like this where I didn't have a good handle on how good they'd be. And the thing about it is the Bears, I think, and so many other teams on their schedule, I keep hearing people talk about what a soft schedule it is. Well, if you look at the, like, people get the Packers on their schedule, and that used to be a, oh, man, we got to deal with Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, man, we got to deal with Favre. Teams are now looking at the Packers differently on their schedules, too. And now they're seeing a winnable game. And what have the Packers won now against the Bears? 6 in a row again?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm Matt Eberflus, I'm down there going, look, guys, those days are over. Now it's your time. We're ahead of these guys in terms of our rebuilding progress. They don't like to use the word rebuilding. We're going to tear them down further. We're going to go in there. They're going to come here and we're going to kick their ass. Like, I just feel like if the Bears, I'm curious to see, A, if the Packers struggle and play poorly and lose. I'm also really curious, and certainly a better storyline, if the Packers go down there and all these Bears fans are like, finally, we don't have to deal with this greatness at quarterback from our neighbors to the north, and Love goes down there and plays really well, and they beat him in Chicago. Like, that's an unbelievable storyline, too. So, can't wait to get to Sunday.
Jason, you mentioned the depth, and this was a thought I had over the weekend as well. What position could they least afford to have an injury, other than quarterback?
Ooh, really good question. And there's a 5% segment of the population that thinks they'll be fine if they have an injury at quarterback, because Sean Clifford is Brett Favre 2.0. I think there's a couple of spots where I would be apprehensive. I think they're pretty deep at outside linebacker, but Devondre Campbell and Quay Walker, I think, are going to be really important to this defense. I'm skeptical that just because they changed out older veteran defensive linemen for younger defensive linemen, that they're going to be better there, because they were not very good against the run last year. We were talking to Kenny Clark yesterday about it. Like, you got a guy who's been to a couple of Pro Bowls, and yet you're still bad against the run. I would say the places that they have very little margin for error are tight end, for one. And if they lose one of their two running backs, I believe that they do really want to, even though we didn't really see it in preseason, I do believe they want to run the ball a ton more than they have historically, even if it's out of the shotgun, which we saw more of than I expected. But if something happens to Aaron Jones and or A.J. Dillon, I love the Emmanuel Wilson story. I'm not sure that he will be quite as productive against NFL starters as he was against the guys he played against during the preseason.
Jason, you think it's easier to buy in on a team than to, I guess, sell them? So we heard Mina Kimes, and she said that she thinks the Packers will surprise people. And Chewy said part of the reason why so many of these national pundits are jumping on the Packers bandwagon is it is easier to say, I thought they'd be good and a team be bad, than I thought they'd be bad and a team be good. And I said, well, yeah, look at what's going on, you know, with Colorado, all the people who said that Deion could never turn a team around as quickly as he did. And again, it remains to be seen if that's a long-term thing or just a one-week flash in the pan. But do you buy that? Do you buy that it's easier to say, well, I thought they'd be good, because that's what people want to hear? That's what the fan base wants to hear.
Chewy, I want to take back your, I mean, it was still a stupid take, but the driving thing, because now I'm at the absolute opposite end of the spectrum. You're 1,000,000% right. Like, I have hated this offseason. Absolutely hated it. I thought I had curtailed my, Twitter or X or whatever the hell we're calling it now, and social media usage. Like, all I'm doing now is posting on my private Instagram and occasionally putting up a link to a story I wrote that I liked. I'm sick of these people. I'm done with them because I've tried to be realistic about this team. You guys just heard me a couple minutes ago talking about I think they're going to go 6-11. I can see them going 9-8. That's not good enough for a portion of this fan base. And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but screw them. I'm done having that conversation. Like, this is what I think is going to happen. I'm being honest with you and authentic with you. If you don't like that, if you don't like the fact that I've watched Jordan Love in practice now for 4 years, and I can say this training camp, he looked good. He looked better than I expected him to be. I still don't think he had like 100 wow throws. I'm not here to put exclamation points of joy at the end of my tweets to tell you how great he is. I am encouraged by how he looked. I think he's got a chance. When years ago, I was like, oh my God, I don't think this guy's going to be very good at all. I'm willing to allow for the possibility that he's going to be good. But I'm telling you what I know. You know, it's that old line from A Few Good Men. It doesn't matter what I believe. It matters what I can prove. And right now, I can't prove that they're going to be good. But there is no doubt, Chu, that and I love Mina, and she got all kinds of love for saying that the Packers' defense was going to be top two a year ago. I don't know, other than Tausch and I, when she came on, because we're friends, and me being able to get after a little bit in a fun way for being so wrong about that defense. How much backlash is there if you say a team's not going to be, you say a team's going to be really good, and then they're not? Right? The fan base doesn't come for you then. But if you say that you don't think this team's going to be very good, and then they turn out to be good, you're going to be told what a freaking idiot you are. And so you're 1,000% right. And that is the path of least resistance. But I'm here to tell the portion of the fan base that does not enjoy me trying to be realistic and honest that I'm trying to do my job. And I'm sorry that you don't like it. And if you want cheerleaders, there are certainly plenty of folks that are fans masquerading as media that you can follow instead. So go ahead. But, you know, I hope I'm wrong. I've said that 1,000 times because it's a hell of a lot more compelling of a season if they find a way to go 9-8 and make a playoff game in Jordan Love's first year as a starter with all these kids on offense than if they go 6-11 and I'm right. Because I can tell you this, you're not going to hear me taking a bunch of victory laps if they finish 6-11 saying, hey, I told you these guys weren't going to be very good, because nobody wants to hear that either.
And you'll never get credit from the people either, Jason.
Right, and I don't want
to. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, we're not here to be cheerleaders. We're here to give you an assessment of what we think this roster can do.
Like, I have said, too, like, Jordan Love had a comment during I don't know if it was the offseason or early in camp, where he said, I think the sky's the limit for this team. I agree with him in 2024. I don't think the sky is the limit. The sky is the limit would indicate that they have a chance to win the title. And when you have your head coach saying that we need to focus on the process, not the outcomes, and you've got the general manager saying, well, this player is a better player than what we have at his position now. But if we had him on the team, he would take away reps from the young guys that need base to grow and improve. Like, I don't know how many people besides you and Matt LaFleur of all people have said again and again and again, the tight end is a really hard position to play well early in your career. And yet if you say that about Luke Musgrave, and you're not saying that he's the next Gronk because of his incredible size and speed and all the other stuff, well, then you're a hater. I love Luke Musgrave. I've had some great conversations with him. His dad and his uncle played at Oregon, so we have all kinds of little Oregon chats because, you know, I've got my Oregon sweatshirt on and whatever else. I really like him. I think he's going to struggle this year. That doesn't mean he's going to struggle next year, but I think he's going to miss some blocks that are going to get running backs slaughtered. I think he's going to run a wrong route. It's going to lead to a pick in some game. I think he's going to have a ball glance off of his hands and get intercepted that way. That doesn't mean that I think he's going to be a terrible player. Tucker Kraft, for example, is a third-round pick. I didn't think he had that great of a camp. And I like Tucker. He was coached by one of Tausch's best friends. So, again, that doesn't mean that Tucker Kraft, in 2 years, they're not going to have and I know that what played out in New England with one of these guys was awful, but there was a time when New England had two like awesome tight ends on the field at the same time. It was like you and Keith Jackson were. And there's a chance that they could end up that way. But I don't think it's happening this year.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Can't wait to chat with you as the week goes on, headed into that big game against the Bears on Sunday. Talk to you soon, pal.
I feel like I just finished a therapy session. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.